Hello and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season 1, episode 10 of Ted Lasso, called The Hope That Kills You. It is the season 1 finale.
It is such a great title for an episode, and it's especially a great title for an episode for this show, because, you know, Ted is such an optimist, you know, always looking on the bright side, always hopeful, and looking for, you know, like, hey, this is what we can do. And it is really interesting to see how this season winds up. And I think this is a really good episode, a good closer for this season. So I'm excited to be talking about it. We do, of course, have all of our disclaimers, so go ahead.
All of them, meaning both of them. It's the same ones. We will be cursing. And we will be spoiling the rest of season 1 again this episode.
Right, because we're not really going to talk about season 2 that much. It's been a while since we've seen it, so I don't remember
that much about it.
So, yeah, and we will, obviously, I'm still drinking the same mimosa I've been drinking all day.
Now with my Dr. Pepper, and
Yeah, we're just going to roll right into it.
It starts with Nathan going into work and noticing that his work is already basically done, and then he runs into this one guy who's like, oh, I'm the new kit manager or something like that.
His name is Wilt?
Yeah. I didn't even notice that he's the new clubhouse attendant, and he's like, wait, but that's my job. And then Rebecca comes in, and he's just like, Ted and Coach Beard come in, and Nora Higgins come in, and they're trying to figure out what's going on and that kind of stuff. And Nathan, like, Rebecca shows up, and he's just like, you replaced me, you fired me, or whatever. And then she's just like, oh, Nathan, no, don't worry. It's just like, wait, you know my name? It's like, I had to put it on the contract that I'm giving you. And then, so they're giving Nathan a promotion to assistant coach. And I love when they, like, open the blinds or something like that, and the whole team is just, like, on the other side cheering him on, and then and there's, like, confetti, I think, and it's just, like, it's a big celebration because they all really do appreciate Nathan and all he's done, and so now he's being promoted to assistant coach. And he gets his own whistle.
He gets his whistle, and he makes some sort of a joke about, hey, it's never been blown, like, you know, one of the team members is like, hey, dude, low. So right after that, Roy comes into the coach's office, and he's like, we need to have someone else have the captain's armband.
Well, that's because the captain always has to be on the pitch.
Right.
And so they need to figure out who that's going to be, and he wants Ted to choose, and Ted wants him to choose. And they go back and forth, and
Ted's like, Roy, you need to choose your replacement.
And Roy says, this is why it's hard to love you. Yes. And then he leaves.
Yeah. And then there's this big discussion about what relegation is, because Ted's still kind of confused about what relegation is. Mm-hmm. And so they put up, like, apparently Jamie is, like, trash talking.
An interview about, like, with Jamie, and he's trash talking, and they are getting mad, and one of the team members throws a chair at the screen, and then I think Roy says, well said.
Yes. Yeah, he does. And that player, and I can't remember his name.
I wrote it down at some point.
I know. And is it Richard or something?
No, it's not Richard. Let me look it up.
Damn it. So that player is somebody who comes up again later. And so
Isaac, that's his name.
Isaac, okay. And he does comes up later. And the guys at the Pope, at the pub, then are talking about how it's the hope that kills you.
Well, the pub owner says that. The pub trio come up to Ted and thank him for trying his best, at least.
Right.
And that's nice. And the coaches then, after, like, she says, it's the hope that kills you, I think Coach Beard and Ted are there, and they're just like, all right, we need to call Nate, and we need to get together.
Right. So and Nate's like, there's just, like, no way.
Yeah, they get together at Ted's apartment, and they're talking about that stuff. And when Nate continues to say there's no hope, Ted runs out of the room for a second. And then, like, Nate and Coach Beard are just like, all right, well, do you have any other, like, outfits than that? It's like, oh, no, I have 3 of these. And then Ted comes back, and he's holding a mini Believe sign that he puts on his bathroom mirror.
Yeah, it's like, no, I look at this every day, and you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Nate is convinced that they can't beat Manchester City. They're just not going to do it. And then, you know, Ted becomes convinced that they're going to lose. He's like, but every disadvantage is an advantage.
That's what Rebecca says.
That's what Rebecca says. And it's like, Okay.
Well, he basically goes to Rebecca and tells her that if they lose the match, she can fire him and do what's best for the team. Yeah. And then she's like, well, listen, she gives him a pep talk, and then she's like, every disadvantage has its advantage. And then he thinks about it and is just like, okay. And then he goes to the locker room and they're all gathered and he's like, let's do trick plays.
Right. He's like, let's create chaos because that, you know, that's something. Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Yeah.
And so he asked them to go through their whole list of trick plays. And I didn't write them all down because like, it was too fast. But like one of them is like, chitty chitty bang bang.
Yeah. He's just like, what a wonderful movie. And then
he's like, Dick Van Dyke's accent is like the best.
Yeah, it's the best. So it's the most accurate British accent in all of cinema history. And right. Then I think there's like a pepper shaker.
Yeah, there are a bunch of
dirty martini.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them. And I wish I'd written them all down because they have great names for them. And then the guy who was from that first episode, the Usy guy,
yeah.
He gets in Jamie's head.
So Jamie is at this hair salon, and he looks like a Ken doll, and because he's getting so much pomade in his hair, and making it gelled, so like it's almost like a hard hat at this point, and the Usy guy comes up, and he like gets a selfie with him, and he's just like, oh yeah, Haven't you seen like what Coach Lasso has been saying about you? And he shows him the press conference where Ted had nothing but nice things to say. It's like, I wish him the best. I hope that he does well. We do care about Jamie and all that. But Jamie, in his mind, thinks that...
This is a psychological ploy.
Well, that, but also in his mind, he thinks that Ted was the one who gave him back to Manchester City, even after he made like strides at Richmond,
right.
And so he thinks it's his fault, and that he didn't want him there,
right.
And so he blames him for that, so when he's hearing this stuff about Ted, it's just like, this is just fucking mind games, isn't it? Like, this right. this isn't real.
Right, and so he goes to Keeley's, because I guess he's having some, like, personal growth as well.
Well, I think he also just wants to hear it from her.
Keeley, yeah, so, and get her perspective. So he shows up at Keeley's, and
Roy opens the door.
And they're all both like, fuck.
They're just sitting in silence.
And so Jamie's like, you know, I feel like everybody's out to get me. And Roy's like, I'm out to get you.
It's so funny. I love it. I am.
And completely deadpan. Like,
well, but also there's a moment where they're just sitting there and Jamie's like, Keeley has just come in. And she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, Roy, Jamie's coming over. And he's like, yeah, I saw. And so, and then she's just like, oh, what's this from Ryan? And he's just like, oh, I made you some coffee. And then she looks over at Jamie's, and then what's that? And then it's just like, I brought you coffee as well. And so she just combines the two in her mug. And it's just like, all right, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to move on. And,
yeah.
But yeah, I love the, basically, Jamie mentions the mind games. He insults Ted, and Roy tells him to be respectful,
yeah.
And which is nice because he's standing up for Ted. Yeah. And Keeley basically is like, not everyone's out to get you. And then, and like you said, I am.
I'm out to get you.
yeah, it's really funny.
And it is really cute. So then they go cut to Rebecca.
Before that, does it cut to Rebecca?
I have Rebecca, maybe it's...
I have Ted FaceTiming his son.
But she and Keeley care?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, there's a moment before that. Okay. Right. Ted's FaceTiming his son, talking about the game that's coming up, and then all the while, like, while he's talking to his son and, like, talking about how coaching is kind of like being a dad and that kind of stuff. He's just like, you didn't, like, understand any of that. You kind of tuned out, didn't you? And then he's like, look, Dad, a robot. And then,
That never has happened to me as a parent.
And all the while, Ted's holding a jar of peanut butter in his hand.
Yeah, he's just, like, dipping into the peanut butter because, you know, peanut butter is the breakfast, lunch, and everything else of champions.
Yeah, and then we go over to the match. Right before the match, Keeley and Rebecca are talking, and Keeley basically says, I never really cared about football. I really don't. I go to all the games, and I understand it. I know what to say, like, oh, ref, you are an idiot, and that kind of stuff, but now I actually have something to care about, and it's because of Roy.
Right. Right. And so you know, it's cold, and they've got all their stuff on, they're ready to go, and she's like, and so Roy is in the locker room, and he gives the captain band to the guy who broke the TV.
Well, and a little bit before that, there's a little pub scene where the trio, or like Paul, the nice pup guy, is just like, good luck, group hug. And everyone's like, no. And so they do a shot instead.
And then, I forgot that, yeah.
And then Higgins also brings, I love, Higgins actually like autocorrected to Huggins in my notes, but it's okay. Higgins brings his whole family to the match, and one of his sons, his eldest son, is like a priest. And so it's like, Jesus Christ, how many sons do you have, or how many family members do you have? And she's like, oh, sorry, father. And then the wife is just like, oh, don't worry, he's a cool priest.
He's seen some things, kind of thing. That's cute.
Yeah, and then we go to the locker room with Roy giving the position to Isaac and saying, never stop breaking TVs.
Exactly. And then Ted comes in and he's like, you know, they're talking about it's the hope that kills you. He's like, it's the lack of hope that kills you.
And do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
Don't answer that now. Just answer it in your head. Think about it. And we'll see what happens.
Right. And you can tell, like, they go out on the pitch and Jamie's just, like, really... bothered by Ted.
Well, also, after the speech, and it reveals that Isaac is now the captain, and he's just like, all right, Richmond on 12. And it's just like, why 12? And so they wait until 12 to actually do it, and it's just like, all right,
we're going to do that. Sure.
Roy isn't starting, and Jamie taunts him, and then Ted just tells him good luck, and Jamie just thinks he's just like, fucking mind games.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. So, and I have a note about Coach Beard, and I can't read it, has to something off, explain offsides to Ted. Yeah. I mean, it's like, this is a little late in the season to be learning the offsides.
He also Ted also calls the sideline guy a highlighter. Hey, highlighter, come here. I find that funny. But they run a trick play. It doesn't work, but it does cause confusion. And then it's halftime and it's still 0-0.
Right. And their keeper, Zorro, is doing an amazing job. I mean, he's just like awesome.
And then they go back to the locker room and Ted's just like, we're not going for a tie. Nobody's going to kiss their sister. It's like, I just realized you don't have that expression here. Yeah,
exactly. And so... they got, I go straight to the second half.
Roy's starting in the second half.
Yeah, they start Roy in the second half. Man City gets a penalty kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are back in regular play, and Roy...
Well, they score.
Right, they score, and they're about to score again, and James got the ball.
Well, yeah, and you also see during this, like, Keeley's cheering Roy on, and Rebecca cares. She actually does care about the results, but go ahead.
Right, so Jamie's dribbling down the pitch. He's about to, like, set up to score, and Roy, I mean, like, he's, like, breaking away from it, and Roy, like, basically kills himself to catch up with him and tackle and get the ball away. And when he does, he goes down and, like, he...
Hurts his knee,
but he's having trouble like getting up, and the crowd goes crazy.
Well, the thing is, Sam goes over and goes to help Roy, and much like what happened with Sam, he's just like, wait, listen, and you hear the Roy chant.
Roy Kent. He's here. He's every fucking where. Roy Kent.
It's so much fucking better than Jamie Tartt.
it is, and the announcers are like, sorry for the fruity language.
Yeah.
And then they just let it play because the crowd's like,
and
really
you also
into
see
it.
In the pub, everyone's cheering him on as well. And I love that. I really do. It's so sweet.
He needed it because we hadn't seen that in anything else, that Roy was that beloved as a player.
Yeah, this is the first time you hear that chant. So it really does make a difference. And then Roy waves to the crowd appreciatively and goes off to the pitch and gives his fan to Isaac, and he goes into the locker room.
Right, and I want to back up just a little bit because there's a point here too, and they talked about it at the halftime. People were going to check on their phones to see what Crystal Palace had done, because if Crystal Palace lost or something, they were definitely going to get relegated or something like that.
Well, they would have to win to not get relegated.
Right.
But if Crystal Palace wins, they just have to tie.
Right. So while they're on the pitch, they notice the crowd's kind of like going nuts. And it's like, oh, wow.
Crystal Palace. And Nate just like stops everybody and says like, wait, everyone's checking their phones. They hear something. Crystal Palace 160. And so they only need a tie. But before that, you hear the announcers talk about how this might be Roy's last game because an injury like this at his age, at this point in his like career, could just be career-ending.
Yeah.
And so, and you see him just on in the locker room, just like downcast. And Keely comes in to comfort him, and he gets a bit defensive. And then she just sits down next to him and just like wraps her arms around him, and just gives him like a nice hug, and just is there for him.
And
she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she can't even make eye. He can't even make eye contact with her.
He's just ashamed, but she is so proud of him, and it's really, really sweet. I love that moment.
It is lovely.
They just need to be there for each other, and it's really nice. And then,
We just need a tie.
And they do the lasso special.
Richmond lights up.
Like an American football team. And they just, like, start, like, going crazy. Like, Sam's going back and forth like a football player would. And then they start it, and they're just, like, confusing everybody, and it's just chaos. And then Danny scores after Sam passes to him.
Right. And it's like, oh, my God. We got a tie. And, you know, there's very little time left, and they're thinking it's awesome. And then Man City's got the ball. Jamie's got the ball, and he passes.
And
Man City scores.
But it's not him who scores, it's his teammate that he passed to because he learned that from Coach Lasso.
Yeah.
And so they lose, and they're going to get relegated. Yeah. And it's disappointing.
it's really sad. And so, you know, they're... they go back into the locker room, and as they're going to the locker room, Ted notices that Jamie's in a room, and someone's yelling at him. Like
just, it's his dad.
And it turns out to be his dad.
And his dad's basically yelling at him about how, I didn't, like, travel all this way to see you pass a ball and not score. This is not right. Ted and Jamie make eye contact, and Jamie's just like... Jamie
thinks that he's been rejected by Ted too, so he's like two father figure kind of people that have rejected him, but you know Ted never did what Jamie thought he did, and so it's interesting because right at the end, you know they do talk about they go into the locker room, and you know Ted says, "All right, Sam, who do we want to be like?"
A goldfish. And also, they cheer for the goalie for his save.
Oh, Zorro! Yeah.
And then he's like, and for Roy for chasing down his grandson. And and then it's worse to be alone and sad than just sad. And they can all be sad together, but they also should be a goldfish and just move on and move forward, and they'll be able to go from there. And then Coach Beard outside gives Jamie, as he's getting on the bus, a note from Ted, and he's just like, oh, a love letter or whatever. And he gets on the bus, he opens the note, and it says, "Way to make that extra pass, Ted." And he also has a Green Army Man in there. And it really, I love Jamie's performance in this because it really does make a
him
difference.
Human. It makes him human.
His reaction to it is absolutely perfect. It really does mean a lot to him. And he realizes, maybe I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Or a mistake in, like, assuming...
Yeah, maybe I misjudged you.
It wasn't necessarily his fault for being, like, switched back, but, like, his mistake on how, like, he treated everybody.
Yeah. So Ted goes into Rebecca's office, and as he's going in, Higgins is going out, and Rebecca says, "Well, thanks, Leslie," and they're like, "What?"
Oh, it's my mother's name. I'm a female junior. Yeah, I'm a feminine junior.
And so, like, wow, okay.
It's funny.
And so Ted's in Rebecca's office, and he's like, "Look, I," and she's like, "Well, let's have a cup of tea." He's like, "I hate tea." And he's like, "Look, you probably should just fire me, but I'm going to make it easy on you, and I'm going to quit."
Yeah. And Rebecca's like, "No, I'm not firing you.
I'm not accepting your resignation.
I need your help to win next season, or to, like, work on stuff next season." And Ted curses, I think, for the first time, and says, "They're going to get promoted and then win the whole fucking thing." Yeah. And then he spits out the sparkling water just like he did in the pilot, but all over Rebecca.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, are you okay?" And she's just like sitting there dripping.
Yeah.
I love that they've set this up so well for a second season.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they've created characters that have all of these dimensions And, you know, you really want to see, like, where are they going from here? What are they going to be able to do it next season? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, one of the great things about a workplace comedy set in sports, too. It's like, you know, you've got...
They have seasons.
Right. So that's really great. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part of this episode?
There were two. Roy and Keeley. I really love Roy in general, like, in this episode is great because even though it feels like an ending for him as a player, at least, you see how that affects him, but seeing Keeley be able to support him and it being a really healthy relationship like that and being very mutually supportive is really sweet. And then Ted and Rebecca. I really love that Rebecca changed her tune and she really does care, but she also is not going to let Ted just resign. And Ted giving all those speeches and stuff like that, I really did love how his entire arc this episode, I think, is really great. What about you?
You know, obviously, but both of those things are great to me, but you just straight up, it has got to be the Roy Kent chant.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that so much, and it's great to me that they saved it to the end.
I did. I like that.
And so I feel like they've really, I like the way this episode is like a great culmination for the season. Mm-hmm. Like, it talks about optimism and hope and whatever. And, you know, there is that element of it's the hope that kills it because you think you're going to win and you don't.
Yeah.
And, but again, there's always more hope. There's always tomorrow kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's just that sense of we've got work to do. You can't just let this bad thing keep you down.
Yeah.
And I love that about this show. I love that it's like, all right, we're going to get back up. All right, we're going to get back up. And that,
we're going to be a goldfish.
Yeah, we're going to be a goldfish. And so I love that about this episode. What was your worst part?
Jamie's dad.
Yeah.
That was
what
hard.
What a fucker.
I mean, that was hard to watch. Because you, it can't, it, honestly, I originally was like, well, is it Jamie? No, it's not Jamie. He actually, like, even at the very beginning of this episode, he's grown to a certain extent, and you see that in the way he plays, even especially with the pass to the other player to be more of a team player and all that stuff. And I think he's really learned from that and his reaction to the army man or whatever. But seeing his dad treat him like that was just so hard to watch, even though he has been an antagonist or like a foil to a lot of these players throughout this entire thing. It was really hard to watch him being, like, so beaten down by his own father just for doing the right thing and playing the right way and just playing. And not, just because he wasn't the one who scored, he was the one who helped assist with the scoring, and he still played a great game, but that doesn't matter in his dad's eyes, and I think that I really just hate his dad.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting to me, too, that you've got these off-screen things that have clearly been influential in the characters, but they're just appearing for the first time in this episode, like, you know, like the Roy Kent song, but also the dad. You'd heard he was a dick,
mm-hmm. But you didn't see it in action.
Well, and you didn't have a perspective on what exactly Jamie meant, because even when he was describing it, he kind of downplays it. It's like, what fucking father is unhappy that their child won the championship? What the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, it's like, okay, your child did something great, had a great assist. What the fuck? I don't even understand that. That's, like, insane. So,
because you're a normal person.
Yeah, well, right. But, you know, I'm also, like, defensive of people who are humans, like all of them.
Yeah.
And so I just don't understand that behavior.
Yeah.
I don't.
So what was your least favorite part? Was it that?
Yeah, I can say that was my least favorite part of this episode. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
What was your overall grade for this episode?
A.
Yeah, I give
from beginning to end, it was a really good episode, and I like that they... I was kind of debating this in my mind about, like, whether or not I liked that they lost or not, but I think they needed that loss so that they could, like, build things back up, and I think that... I think it was a good decision, and even though, like, all this optimism, and I loved when they won the games and stuff like that, but...
Well, right, Right. If they had won, why would you even watch season two?
Exactly. Like, what's going to change? Are they going to get relegated again? No. I mean, that's always going to be a constant threat, but having to work back to the top of their new bracket full of, like, loser teams or whatever.
Right.
In the championship bracket, they have to work their way up that just to get back to the Premier League, and their goal, again, stated by Ted, is to fucking win the whole thing.
Right.
And so you want to see that happen and then to build that back up. So I think
it's... Well, and see how to do it, yeah. Right? I mean, because there's a lot of work to be done, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with you, and I really like the characters that they've got. I've liked where they're going. I do think that I have some question about where things go in the second season, and I think we really need to address that because, you know, sophomore seasons are always hard.
It's hard to, like, especially like such a great season
that you can't replicate this one, so
it can't be the exact same. You want to change things up. You want to make sure that your characters are human enough to, like, make certain mistakes, but maybe not the same mistakes, but questioning on whether or not those mistakes are supposed to be made.
That's exactly.
A whole thing, and some relationships and stuff like that. It's just like a whole thing, but we'll see where things go.
We will see where things go.
Because I need to rewatch that.
I know, right, because we watched this all, like, super fast.
Yeah.
And so a lot of, like, the... You know, what was that middle thing? It's kind of where I was like, okay, there's a lot of middle stuff that I've forgotten.
I remembered this season more vividly than the second season. Like,
exactly.
I remembered, like, the basic plot points. Nothing really big surprised me,
right.
Other than, like, a couple details here and there. But, like,
some of the jokes, though, like,
the jokes stayed.
Yeah, right. But again, some of the jokes I'd forgotten. I was like, oh god, that's really good. You know, or
like
some
the
of
cow branding.
Yeah, it's like there's so
the
many little
ones,
things. Yeah,
like, I really appreciate it. But the little things, and I'm really excited to see more of that in season two, and we'll see how we feel about that.
Yes, because we are going to continue.
Yes.
We're going to watch, and we're going to be buzzed binging. So please tune in.
And
Jordan. And what are you doing?
I thought you were gonna say cheers.
Cheers.